Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're continuing to make our journey through the Acts of the Apostles, the exciting reality of what Jesus was accomplishing through the apostles and the foundation upon which the church was built on the apostles and prophets. And we can see the work that was done by the apostles and how clearly focused they were on the very things Jesus told them to be focused on. If you haven't had a chance to tune in the program this week, friends, I'd encourage you to go to our website, renewalministries.net, or just download the Renewal Ministries app from the App Store. It will allow you to have access anytime, night or day, to the material that we're producing at this important time, really, in the life of the church. And amidst the shaking and the trouble of wider society and the church and the divisions that are emerging, friends, I want you to know something and know it with certainty, that everything that's happening is in the hands and the will of divine providence. That is His permissive will. He's allowing the nations to be shaken. He's allowing the idolatry of the world to be exposed. He's allowing the church and the corruptions in the church and the divisions in the church and the compromise that's present in the church and the sin sickness of members of the church. And He's allowing it to be surfaced because we're not willing to do it on our own. He's bringing His redemptive disciplines upon the church, and His judgments are in the earth. And when God's judgments are in the earth, that's a good thing because it means that God is coming to help us despite our stubbornness. He's coming to reveal the condition of our lives, and He wants to remove everything that hinders love from our lives. That's what it's all about. And sometimes it's tough love that He has to exercise on us because He loves us and He's a loving Father. And He wants a church that's alive like the one we're describing here in the Acts of the Apostles, that's moving in the power of the Spirit, that's deeply converted, that's not afraid of men, and it's clear about the message it's bringing forward, filled with mercy and tenderness, but great courage and boldness. That's what the Lord wants to produce in us. The church today in many places is lukewarm. Even many leaders of the church are timid and fearful, and all of us, friends, are weak. There's no superstars. There's no super saints. Every human being has clay feet. God's power is made perfect in weakness, but the weakness is in human beings that bow down before the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Lord, come, help me. I can't do it without You. Forgive me for my sins. Help me walk in righteousness. Help me be dedicated to You and put You first and put the great commandment, the first commandment, in first place in my life. You can't do that, friends. That is putting the first commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can't put it in first place in your life in a meaningful way without God's help, without the help of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have to cooperate. We have to cry out, and we have to obey as God gives us strength. Everything else will flow from that because it means we're living with Him. We're abiding in the Lord. And Jesus said, if you abide in my love, you'll bear much fruit. Jesus passionately loves us. And so this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the apostles now equipped by the Holy Spirit, being helped by Jesus through the Holy Spirit. They know they've become temples of the living God. They know their lives now are sharing in the glory that belongs to Jesus, that a new power is at work in them, forming them into a living community of radical lovers of Christ. One body, Jesus as the head and the leader, and they're following their commander. They're following their Lord. They're following Jesus, our friend and our Savior. That's what's unfolding in them. And renewal today in the church means that. That's what it is. And only repentance and radically turning to the Lord and being willing to expose our lives to Him and to His examination and to be honest and to make a break from habit patterns of sin and to put Him in first place, to enthrone Him in our hearts, in your heart, my heart. That's what it's all about. That's what the apostles are doing. So we're continuing the story today. We know once again the apostles were arrested, thrown in jail. The angel came at the nighttime and broke them out of jail and told them to go right back to the place that the leaders, those who preside over the temple in Israel, told them, don't say His name again. Don't teach. Don't preach. Not here, not in the temple, not anywhere. The apostles went right back, and the angel told them, go tell them about the new life you've been given. So there are different ways of talking about Christianity. It's a new life. Another place, it talked about the way. Christianity was the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Christianity is the way home to the Father. It's the way home to eternal life. It's the way to ultimate happiness and fulfillment and completion in God. That's what it is. It's not just another religion. It's not a philosophy. Can't underline that enough. And it's important for us to see it. So now, friends, as we're going through these great trials in the culture, and guess what? The shaking that's going on, I really do think it's going to multiply. I think it's going to go deeper and deeper until God really has our attention. But right now, the best thing to do is not to focus on the circumstances around us, but dial into what you're hearing here in the story. Seek renewal in God, putting God in first place, deep repentance. So here we are today, Acts 5:27. When the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, that is once again, the high priest questioned them. Now, we gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? They wouldn't even say it. Yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you want to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses to these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they became infuriated and wanted to put them to death. Isn't that amazing? So here the apostles are. Just months earlier, they stood near the same place, near the temple, near the court, but they were afraid. They were hiding. They were afraid for their lives because they knew the powers that be were not going to be happy and that it would cost them something. What happened to them? Well, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ happened to them, first of all. And Jesus appearing to them and forgiving them and loving them and strengthening them. And then, of course, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The very thing Jesus said that would give them the power they need to do the works he called them to do. So they were born again in a new way by the water and the Spirit, right? They were born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were alive. They were filled with power. And they knew it. And they were fearless. Listen to the words again of the religious leaders, what they're saying to them. We gave you strict orders. Did we not? We're in charge, in other words. You're disobeying us. It's going to cost you to do that. So they were being threatened again, and they saw the anger in the leaders, and it could lead, because they knew it clearly, because they saw Jesus' crucifixion. They knew it could lead to their own death, because these guys had real power to put him to death. But, they didn't have real power to do any permanent damage to them. Because they knew to die as witnesses to Jesus was the greatest thing they could ever do. And they knew it would immediately lead to being with Jesus in a nanosecond. As soon as they were being killed, they might have to suffer for a short time, but they could offer it up for the salvation of others. And they knew Jesus would be glorified in it. That's where the Holy Spirit brought them. Isn't that beautiful? And that's where the Lord wants to bring every disciple. So, the Sanhedrin, the leaders, court officers are saying, stop teaching in that name. But instead, you did just the opposite. You did just the opposite of what we told you to do, and we're the ones who are in charge. We run things. Well, we're living at a time, friends, when the heat is being turned up. We've talked about it many times on the program, on our YouTube videos. This is important for us to see. There's more voices rising. The church are beginning to get it. Because there's an anti-Christian creed, as Pope Benedict said, an anti-Christian spirit that's driving it. A new set of commandments, a new story about humanity, a new set of rules, a new culture, a new politics. It's emerging. And it's one that is rejecting openly fundamental elements of God's plan and God's revelation. And the same thing's happening. It's not identical yet at this point, but it's getting there. It's going to go there. Why? It's going to go there, even despite the fact that those who are doing it are going to say it's different than this. It's not different, because ultimately what it's about, friends, is about the powers of the world moving on human hearts that are open to those powers. That's a fallen world, that is. The darkness of a fallen world. People's minds are darkened, like Scripture said very clearly. And we've known that in our own lives. I remember a period in my life where I thought a lot of things that I thought were important and cool and what everybody should do and be free to do were good. But it turned out they weren't good because they opposed the will of God. But in my silly wisdom and desire to belong, I was parroting what I heard around me, and it offended God. That's what's going on. But now there's pressure. There wasn't pressure back then when I was younger. There was some peer pressure. And at a certain point when I was touched by the Lord and the Spirit of God was flowing through me more, I honestly wasn't afraid of what peers thought. I really wasn't. There was a time when I was, but it stopped. But I didn't receive any serious public pressure, being fired from jobs or being arrested or beaten. But that stuff's coming now, because the world is honoring, enthroning, enshrining in law things that are in direct contradiction to the will of God. Killing babies in the womb until their first breath, up until their first breath. Soon it's going to be after their first breath. Why? Because there's demonic power behind it. What does Satan want? Satan wants to kill and destroy the deceiver, the liar. He wants to kill and destroy what? Kill and destroy eternal creatures. Those who bear the image of God. That's what he's after. And the kings of the earth, because they lust for power, because their pride, they're blinded by their pride, they think they can fix the world. They think they can carve out a third way between the two kingdoms, a special way. Because why? Because they're special. Because they're so special, so smart, so compassionate, so different. And they've discovered so many things that make them better. And they're going to go ahead and fix the world and be nice. But they won't be nice, because there's certain things that the kingdom of this world is going to demand of them. And they're already executing on it. That is, they're already insisting that people believe certain things. And if they don't believe and profess certain things and celebrate certain things, they are going to pay for it. And they're going to go as far as they can with punishment. And there's no telling how far the Lord's going to permit it to go. So this is real. But think of the words here of the apostles and their eternal perspective. We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus. So Peter's saying, look, we must obey God. We heard what you said, but we must obey God. Now here's what we want you to hear. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus. Though you had killed him by hanging him on a tree, God exalted him at his right hand as Lord and Savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we're witnessing to these things. That's what they proclaimed right in the face of the threats. And God wants to give you that strength, me that strength, to not live in fear, but to be able to be witnesses when the opportunity arises, when God's will affords it in your life. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The Scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.